It seems the penguins of Antarctica didn't get the government shutdown message last month. Listen, they're acting as if nothing is wrong, as if the situation is completely normal. But the U.S. government shutdown is causing facilities to consider maybe packing up for the year down in Antarctica. The U.S. National Science Foundation has stopped paying defense contractor Lockheed Martin, and it's running out of funds for its research operations at McMurdo Station at the South Pole, threatening an entire season of experiments. For a skeleton team at the Antarctic facility, it may mean even more extreme isolation and patience than is normal for people working near the South Pole. A few years ago, adventurer and medical doctor Gavin Francis volunteered to serve as the on-base physician for the very isolated British Antarctic installation called Halley, located along the Caird Coast on the Brunt Ice Shelf beneath the Theron Mountains that few humans have ever seen. He stayed for a year, feeling the isolation, experiencing the beauty, and discovering some things about himself. The story of his experiences is told in the book Empire Antarctica, and he joins us from very temperate Milano, Italy. Gavin Francis, welcome to the program.
Hello, John. Thanks for having me on.
Do you miss Antarctica even today?
I do miss it. I mean, Antarctica is the purest, stillest, most beautifully elemental landscape on Earth. The contrast with the life that I have now in Europe are immense. So, yes, I do miss it.
And how do you contrast the beauty with the sense of isolation, of being on your own, even if you are with a small band of people gathered in little warm cubicles trying to keep out the elements?
The isolation, for me, is part of the great beauty of it. For 10 months of the year, our base was isolated, and I was told that as the physician there, I would have no opportunity to evacuate any medical casualties for those 10 months. And that level of isolation gives it some edge, I think, some extra special atmosphere that for me made it all the more enjoyable.
Part of what you write about is how you fit in your own small way in the huge historical narrative of the exploration of the Antarctic. Did you feel as though you were standing on the shoulders of giants, that you were part of the same adventure, or is it all pretty much cut and dry in the 21st century?
No, I felt very much that we're leading on from this tradition, from the heroic age exploration. People like Scott Shackleton, your own Admiral Byrd. Admiral Byrd's book is one of my favourite stories of Antarctic exploration. And the way we live now in the Antarctic is very much because those guys in the early days left us a legacy. They keep us safe.
So you arrived in the Antarctic on a boat named for the explorer Shackleton, right?
Yeah, the RRS Ernest Shackleton, yeah.
The Shackleton legacy, I imagine, would be a fairly terrifying legacy. I mean, did you feel a little bit like you were heading into the same sense of doom that Shackleton experienced?
No, well, as a physician, my role model really was Scott's physician, a guy called Edward Wilson, who was a magnificent guy, a polymath, a naturalist. Shackleton himself was a master of managing people and difficult situations, and undoubtedly learned from him, yeah. But I wanted to learn a little bit, too, from the physicians.
Give me a sense of the visual expanse from those mountains that were behind the Halley Station to the ice shelf that you actually lived upon, and then, of course, the coastal area there, that ocean that stretched out in front of you.
Well, there's a little video your listeners can see on my website. It's just www.gavinfrancis.com. Go and have a look at that little video, and you can see something of that pure expanse, that binary world that's only made up of ice and sky, and of course the penguins, the emperor penguins. The base where we were huddled on the edge of the ice shelf had one of the largest colonies of emperor penguins on the Antarctic continent, and I spent a lot of time sitting with those penguins.
And those penguins exposed to the elements and you bundled up in a parka, could you imagine what they were going through?
Well, you know, their lives, their minds are very simple. Their lives are impossibly difficult for us to imagine. They fast for 4 months, through 4 months of total darkness through the winter. And I couldn't imagine that. But those 4 months of darkness through the Antarctic winter were also some of the most beautiful. You know, the sky is filled with auroras, meteor showers, wheel of the constellations above you in the sky. I had a sense of that sort of the depth and beauty of the world that they live in. Of course, their lives are so much more dangerous than mine could ever have been there. But being able to sit with them through the winter, I had something of the sense, yes, of how they live.
What did the penguins teach you about the importance of even us humans huddling together on this planet?
Well, penguins have only survived here. They're the emperor penguins are the only species to survive that far south year round. And they have this immense capacity for tolerance, for stillness, for endurance of the most appalling conditions. And so they were a real inspiration to me. They were representative too of the community of the living off there over the northern horizon. And so they reminded me that I was still part of this world of life which was going on in the north, even though the continent itself felt dead.
And when today your Mediterranean wife complains about the cold, can you have any sympathy for her whatsoever, or are you an intolerable bastard about the whole thing?
Yeah, I do sometimes, especially with my children. She wants to get their jackets on and their scarves, and I say, come on, you need to harden them up a bit.
Gavin Francis, thanks so much.
Thank you.